This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk on Devil Radio 92.7. Now, here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci. Educated educators talking education.
Oh, it is Johnny and Tim, the educated educators talking education. I love that. I don't know. Does that sound too like we're like digging on ourselves too much, Johnny, when educated educators talking education?
No, man, it's just a lot of education. It's always good. Yeah,
you know, but here's the thing, though. If you call in 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789, you too can be part of the educated educators who talk education. I mean, this is we're an inclusive group here, you know,
alliteration group,
the alliteration crew. But all it takes to become an educated educator who talks education, 844-967-2789. Here we are now 2 weeks, Johnny. And, you know, it's the school shooting is still out there. It's still raw. I don't know if people have had an opportunity to see the one teacher that managed to escape with wounds and hear his horrifying testimony to that moment with the shooter and the fact of being trapped and helpless. It's painful. It's painful to watch. And so here we are on school shootings. And, you know, we talked about this last week and we wanted to try, I don't even know if we could make sense of it, but you know, John, we was like, look, everything we're doing up right now from a quote, you know, how are we going to make things better? You pointed it out. It's like, we're actually doing nothing. We're not doing anything. We're just trying to figure out ways to reduce the amount of casualties, maybe at most. All right. Well, another kind of push, and we've heard this one before, but it got more legs this week. And I was, you know, skimming my articles, checking out the YouTube, you know, always trying to keep myself up as an educated educator to make sure that I know what I'm talking about when I talk education. The school resource officer now, and if anybody goes, well, is that like a rent-a-cop like they have at the malls? No, huh. No. Right. It's like, no, this is not, you know, this is. Oh, God, I can't think of the actor who played the Bart mall cop. This is not a mall cop, right? These are real police officers. They call them school resource officers, but these are trained professional police officers that walk and have their station permanently in schools. And so their job is to walk around the school, stay in contact with the kids, create relationships with teachers, and kind of be that presence there in the schools. And this has been going on for a long time. We've whether you want to say cops in schools or school resource officers, whichever one you prefer. But cops have been in schools, largely particularly after the Columbine. This became a big issue as one of the quote solutions to mass shootings in schools, is to put armed police officers, school resource officers, in the school because they would be a deterrent. So, great piece on John Oliver's show. I love his show. Where he really does is, you know, in a half hour, the ability to somehow mix humor with an absolute smack in the face reality to going, that's a stupid idea, but really took the school resource officer to task. And Evan, I know I just got one little clip. I want to, you know, start with having a little bit of John Oliver. So, Evan, hit that first clip.
For the record, the answer to the question, do police in schools deter school shootings, is basically no. Experts who've studied this have found that school shooters were not deterred due to the presence of metal detectors, locked doors, security cameras, or school resource officers.
Now, John, a lot of people might think that must have been the end of his show. That's how John Oliver starts the show. He answers the question, do school resource officers deter, prevent, whatever you want to call it, you know, minimize harm? The answer is no. Okay. Well, then why? Why are we putting school resource officers in schools? Why is this the solution? That, and you know, right, left, you'll find more agreement. Now, first of all, you'll find the most agreement on some type of gun control legislation, but there is more and more agreement that a school resource officer just makes sense. In fact, if you watch John Oliver's Last Week Tonight, you can see that there's a police school resource officer who, when asked about why he should be there, and the police officer said, well, because it just makes sense. Does it make sense? 844-967-2789. Does it make sense to have school resource officers in the building? And the question isn't, does it make sense? Do they prevent school shootings? Is this the solution? John Oliver says no. We're going to spend the night talking about it. If you want to chime in, let us know. Put out your educated education talk. 844-967-2789. School resource officers. Do they prevent, minimize, reduce, deter school shootings? Johnny, your thoughts.
Well, I think it's important to note too that John Oliver communicates the message no, because he's, you know, drawing on research and informed, you know, studies that look right at specifically are school resource officers, are cop shops in schools deterrents to mass shootings? And the answer is no. Right. And so I think that's an important one here, because they may be a lot of things. We can get into that. You know, I certainly have an informed opinion that's biased towards more counselors in schools, not cops. Right. But we can get into that. But just kind of looking at the facts of things, I think it is important to show they are a lot of things. So there are like instrumentalist arguments for where they may be helpful in terms of reducing fights or things like that. And I'm skeptical of even that, because I don't think those numbers are there. But running the numbers on preventing or deterring mass shootings, it's a clear no. So it's, again, important for us as, you know, folks thinking about these issues or communicating the experiences that children and teachers are having in schools. It's to remember that that's a distraction from, again, real preventative measures taken. And the only ones, as unpopular as this is, for those feeling like it is in some way an infringement on their Second Amendment rights, and I'll really stand strongly that it's not, but is to really make it harder, if not impossible, for young people to get the kind of weaponry that are associated with these copycat, you know, mimicked killings and mass shootings. All right. And so, you know, when we start to think about how do you prevent it, you look at the facts and you stop it at the source, right? Instead of distract and sort of create sort of smoke screen around it, which is clearly, I mean, we don't even need to get into it. I think it's still too fresh and too early, but clearly cops don't stop mass shootings. And I say that a little bit sarcastically. There's no sarcasm here. We have proof that they're not a deterrent. And that's not even me hating on school resource officers, although I'm opposed to them, right? We can get into that. I'm not trying to like get a low blow at them, because I think many of them mean well. I think that they're sort of structurally some problems in what creates healthy, and safe learning environments for kids. And to blame school resources officers is not what I want to do.
No, and that's the first thing, right? First of all, there's no blame on school resource officers. There's interesting studies that ask that question, but there's no blame here. We're not talking about this. It's just, you know, school resource officer keeps coming forward now 2 weeks after as, you know, this is the most reasonable solution. And, you know, so should school resource officers be in the school building? Should they be in your child's elementary school? Should they be in your niece's high school? Should they be at the Friday night football games? Maybe there's a different answer there as opposed to being in the school building. I don't know, but if we want to, first of all, If you say yes, give us a call, 844-967-2789. We're not looking to take anybody down on this. We want to hear this. Johnny, my thought, though, is that this is one of those and issues that somebody says, you know what? Your statistics mean nothing to me, Johnny. When I drop my child off in the morning and I see that school resource officer there, I feel better.
You do.
I just said that.
Yeah.
I said, and so why would you tell me my argument is wrong if I leave my child with a sense of security and safety? Isn't that enough? Regardless of the research, regardless of the statistics, me as a parent, as a caretaker of a child, the number one person who's supposed to be in a position of protection, when I say put a school resource officer in there because it makes me feel better. It makes me feel like something else is there just in case. Why can't I then have that be what drives the policy decision? Why do statistics matter?
Well, I mean, I think you put it out there, and I really like how you express it. You feel safer. And I know you're using that sort of as like an example of a parent who experiences, you know, oftentimes a sense of, I'll put it out there, a false sense of security by the presence of police. It's important that we do look at the statistics, right? Which I should have maybe pulled some of these things up for the show.
Don't worry. Come in on the next break. We're going to hit some of them.
Yeah. Okay, good. Because, you know, like one of my most favorite articles about Oakland is one called the largest gangs in Oakland, and then all of the statistics, the largest gang in Oakland is the Oakland cops. Right? And so most corruption, the most murders, the most all those pieces. So the thing is when we're talking about whose safety matters and what is a sense of real safety, it is in every way a learning moment when we say, why might somebody feel not safe in the presence of police officers in their schools?
And there's a question for you. 844-967-2789. More busted pencils after the break.
Teaching and learning in a post-COVID world. Critical race theory. Howard Zinn. Truth. Band? Yeah, there's a whole lot of crazy going on in today's classrooms. Where do you go for sanity? Maybe not here, but Busted Pencils Radio is here to soothe your anxiety. Now back to Tim, Johnny, and Busted Pencils Radio.
Oh, it is us, Tim and Johnny. We are back and probably actually adding to your anxiety 2 weeks in a row. We're talking about this school shootings. We're coming at the school resource officer asking the question, why not school resource officers? Johnny said, and John Oliver said, so Johnny and John Oliver said, there are statistics that say we shouldn't put them in there. They don't work. I said, but as a parent, I don't care. I want the feeling that my child is protected well. Well, Johnny, according at least to some of the headlines that are out there, even fast response time with school resource officers can't stop school shootings. Armed campus police do not prevent school shootings. And according to students, they don't want school resource officers in their buildings. And just from one piece, Courier Journal here, and this is a quote from the 948 school shootings since Sandy Hook prove swift policy changes and more guns don't work. And according to the article, quote, an analysis of school shootings from 1999 to 2018 found that the presence of a school resource officer did little to reduce the shootings or the severity. And actually, schools that had an armed guard experienced a death rate 2.83 times higher than those without. Now, there's a statistic that we could have us talking. Speaking of talking, Zach from Colorado is on the line. Zach, what's going on?
Hey, how's it going? I am a longtime listener. This is my first time calling in.
We love it.
Full disclosure, I do know co-host Johnny. Him and I go way back. We worked at a summer camp together back in the 90s.
Cabin 8, my man, Cabin 8.
We will not hold that against you, Zach.
Okay, good. So I'm calling in just, because I wanted to, contribute something to this conversation about the presence of SROs in schools. And it's, some statistics I came across a couple years back when I was teaching a middle school social studies class, and we were doing a unit about the school to prison pipeline, and this is actually a research my students did. But, we came across all these, statistics showing that in schools with a school resource officer, statistically speaking, students of color and students with an IEP are more likely to end up in the school to prison pipeline. So I feel like that's another thing to consider and to keep in mind when we're having this discussion about SROs in schools.
But Zach, okay, I've heard that, but did you hear me make the plea of a parent that said I don't care about the statistics, I care about the safety, and that makes me feel safe knowing there's an armed police officer, a school resource officer, or an SRO, as you said it, that makes me walk away feeling a little bit better. Are you saying I don't have that right, or a parent doesn't have that right to make that statement?
I don't want to say they don't have that right. And the interesting thing about it is that I would say that I have a lot of colleagues, I have a lot of fellow teachers who feel the same way.
Hmm. Yeah, and I'm going to be honest, I'm just pushing you a little bit on this. It's not, what I like to do on the show is kind of try to take the position so that we can give everybody, a full ability to possibly see potential sides of this. But Zach, Johnny, what do you got for Zach?
Well, I mean, I appreciate Zach's call in here tonight and love that his students were doing that kind of research, because I think that's the key, Tim. I think the more we open up a dialogue about what certain actions and interventions in our schools result in, the more we can make an informed decision as a community to what we want. And I think when we come together and do that democratically, when we look at things, we have an open dialogue about, the presence of, police, armed police force in our schools results in an increased likelihood that your child is incarcerated, an increased amount of violence towards students who have diverse abilities, right? And it's certainly, as we know in our country right now, police presence is astronomically more dangerous for any marginalized person. So any person of color, any queer person in the community, don't necessarily feel protected or safe with police presence. So the more we have those kinds of dialogues, and I think it opens things up to acknowledge, like you and Zach are saying, to acknowledge that in our culture, which likely is, highly steeped in not only white privilege, but, in a certain classist experience with police, right? That teachers and especially, people of privilege in our communities experience the sense of safety and security and protection of the police. The police protect property and state laws and have long time been, a sort of armed wing of white supremacy. And I know I'm going to get a lot of controversy.
Oh man,
on that,
Johnny.
But I mean, so if we look at that historically, it's important to put into context then who, and to validate. And it's a learning moment as a community to say, why do we feel that sense of safety and security? And is it real? And do we have goals of providing that for all of our students? And if we do, what do we do differently? And I'm gonna reclaim one of the spins that the folks kind of spinning the mass shooting stuff right now by bringing up more resource officers, more armed teachers, that whole pro-gun turn to things. They've also cried out that this is a mental health crisis. Mm-hmm. And so what we've known for years and years, even not necessarily looking at mass shootings, but just violence in schools, is that the increased
amount of counselors in our schools, the increased number of people who understand childhood development, and in particular what we're calling right now socio-emotional learning, or what, you know, some friends at a podcast, Educators Amplifier, talked about self-regulation and understanding our emotions. We've said for years and years, decades, more counselors, less or no cops, you'll see the results. More coaches, less cops, more, you know, trained teachers, not armed teachers, but trained teachers, right? More child advocates, less child punishers. And so the more we change the culture of an increased amount of adult presence in our school, I definitely agree with that. The safer our schools will be, you know, the stronger they'll be. The increase in cops, I'm not there.
Oh, man. So you and Zach against Tim. Zach, we really appreciate you calling from Colorado. Please call us more. Spread the word, Busted Pencils, to everybody out there in Colorado to check it out. But again, Zach, really appreciate you giving us a call. And no, you guys are not against me. When we get back, though, Johnny, yeah, you and Zach really brought this up, though. What do school resource officers contribute to? We're going to ask that and try to answer that question because you guys were hinting at it. 844-967-2789. School resource officers in the schools. Busted Pencils back after the break.
Teaching and learning in a post-COVID world. Critical race theory. Howard Zinn, truth, banned?
Yeah, there's a whole lot of crazy going on in today's classrooms.
Where do you go for sanity?
Maybe not here,
but Busted Pencils Radio is here to soothe your anxiety. Now back to Tim, Johnny, and Busted Pencils Radio.
We are back. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Johnny and Tim. School resource officers, Zach from Colorado weighed in, Johnny and Zach both on the statistical side, talking about feelings. I do want to kind of move into this. So if school resource officers are there, then what do they contribute to? Because there's actually some pretty good research on that, and Johnny and Zach were hinting at it. But first, we've got Joanne from Madison on the line. Joanne, what's happening? Thoughts on school resource officers? What do you have to say?
Great show. I'm an educator.
Thank you.
So I've got skin in the game here. I'm looking forward to September and my own solutions to these issues. We don't have locks on our doors in my institution. We'd like to do, though.
Yeah, I was going to say, Joanne, the problem, you've already stated the problem. You have more than one door.
I'm
sorry. I had to take a swipe at Ted Cruz there.
Yeah, exactly. We've got a situation in which I think, with the building as it's arranged, that dogs might help. Now, I've got a background with dogs because I'm part of this group that has put dogs in the library for exam week. We try to calm students down by petting dogs. Students love dogs and all of that. But dogs also sense danger. They can be trained to sense, to smell gunpowder, and of course drugs too. I mean, that's another issue for the schools. But we've got a resource that I don't think has been tapped. You were talking about, and I'll relate it to SROs, because you wonder what these people can do. I think that an SRO with a friendly dog on, by his or her side, a dog that isn't racist, that everybody likes, because kids love pets. I mean, I haven't seen a young person who doesn't just feel for dogs and have a vibe for dogs. So, again, it's maybe a frivolous solution, but I think that we need to think outside the box to solve these issues.
Well, Joanne, I don't think you're thinking outside the box. You know, it's a novel idea, but it really fits into what actually the research really does show. And I think what you're talking about, this dog, really the social emotional aspects and how we help children. And as Johnny mentioned, you know, we did a podcast, a collaboration with Educators Amplified, two teachers in the Milwaukee area, and they really talked about the regulation and how we can regulate the social emotional. And if this could help, you know, even help possibly, you know, somebody who might be on the edge to come away from that edge, you know, who are the school shooters. So, you know, the idea, I don't think it's out of the box. You're really putting into that social emotional. The issue that I think we come face to face with is, though, I know you said school resource officer with the dog, but Joanne, sorry, we only have money for one or the other. And sorry, the dog didn't make the cut in the budget room, so we had to keep the school resource officer. That's how that pans out. But, you know, Johnny, what, you know, I like Joanne's approach. You know, it's talking to this.
I'm a big fan, because we've just been learning more about research on, like, reading dogs,
mm-hmm.
right? And then just companion animals in schools, and you know, long time advocate for the fact that we need more diverse life, period, in our school settings, right? More plants, more, you know, more animals. And thinking about it, I agree with you. I think it feels outside of the box, but I think Joanne's saying, like, we can't just keep doing the same old stuff. And especially when we have one of the longest lasting multi-species relationships we have as a human. Right. Like our non-human companionship goes all the way, 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 way back, you know, to canines. And so, you know, tap into that and think about, you know, building our school presence in diverse ways. And so, Joanne, I love that you called. Thank you for being in education and for being a teacher, because, you know, that's the kind of voice and perspective that's going to push policymakers to take serious consideration, you know, and it's a shift, because they're not crime dogs, they're just dogs who have a particular set of skills, highly trained, like Joanne said, to sense danger, to, you know, smell things like gunpowder and things, and to notify folks who can take kind of that precaution in a preventative way.
Oh, thank you, Joanne. Yes, particularly Eric from Menominee Falls. Eric, you got some thoughts on school resource officers?
First, I'd like to say the last caller, I hadn't thought of what she did. That seems like a pretty good idea to me. I think I like the idea of the school resource officer and coupling them with a canine. You know, you can't just let the dog run on its own. Having a resource officer with the canine, the students could then identify that resource officer not as a guy with a gun who's, you know, but it turns him into a human. And I've heard tons of stories about how the resource officers actually do work, because then the student isn't just hearing, all cops are bad stories. They're actually meeting a cop on a daily basis, seeing them in school, and recognizing them as a resource for the community. And then the child grows up not disliking cops, but instead they like cops. And you couple that with the dog thing. What's more is, I mean, just think about it. You know, if you were the bad guy, would you be more or less deterred to go into a school knowing that there could be some guy who's good at what he does beating you to the punch and you don't know any better? You know,
Eric, I like the idea that you support Joanne, and the fact that you're waiting, that even prompted you to think about that. I'm going to push back, because this is the side of the show where, you know, I'm going to jump on where the evidence is. And again, you're making a common sense plea that sounds reasonable. I would ask you to think about this. How about, instead of a school resource officer and a dog, a trained social worker, mental health person who actually is working with the dog to help the school in those situations? Would that make you think a little bit differently about whether we need a cop or not?
Well, I don't think that's a bad idea either, except when if a bad event should happen, you're not going to be able to talk that guy down. They tried that a couple of years ago when they said, oh, we just won't have, you know, we'll have social workers respond to domestic violence, and that lasted like a day. before they realize that, you know, the crazy drunk guy who's angry at his wife isn't going to stop being crazy drunk because somebody said, you know, try love instead of hate, you know, from outside the window, you know, with a megaphone. You know, sometimes you got to have that muscle. And, you know, I mean, yeah, you're right. They need to have that social worker there. But that could be like a thing where the social worker, you know, is there like every other day or half a day or something like that. And if the student can share their problems with them, but having them around 24/7, you know, you can't have 100 kids talking to one person.
Well, I mean, yeah, think about it, Eric. And Eric, we appreciate the call. Johnny, let you jump in here for a second and then see.
Yeah, no, I like how our callers are coming in and you know, and bringing just, you know, an open and honest sort of take on something that absolutely needs to be solved. And I love the idea, you know, Eric brought up, is that he likes the idea of a very skilled and trained student resource officer with a dog. And I think that could be a combination of both. And I'm really kind of just being open-minded about things and thinking about my friends who work in restorative justice. I'm not a big fan of that, but I'm not a hater on it. And I think in places where they give me examples, they do have really strong cases where the training that the SRO has, the way the SRO integrates into the building, is almost as though they were like part of the staff, the community. You know, and oftentimes they're not even fully uniformed or even, you know, having a gun in some communities. And so I think that that's a really important thing. The other thing I just want to throw out there again is I don't think anything stops mass shootings than stopping the access and the easy access to the kind of weaponry that are part of the whole picture of them, the whole similarity throughout them. Because I think even if we had dogs and counselors and all the things, and Eric brought this up, once a person's that far in, they're not going to get talked down. I that's my take on it. And so again, I don't think there's a solution at the school for this. There's a solution in our culture for it and a real concrete one in policy and limiting access to these kinds of weapons.
But think about what you just said there, Johnny. I actually see that when you say a cultural issue, which I absolutely agree with too, and a policy, and I actually think those can be very separate, because we actually need a cultural shift to bring us to the ability to move into the policy. Because right now the culture is not even, and again, those who have the power, the loud minority, they somehow have the control of the culture. We got to take one more call before the break, though. We got Tom from LA. Tom, what's happening? We always appreciate your call. Tom.
First off, we the people are the government. Ultimately, we must never forget that. Second, the Republicans are the pro-death party. I hope everybody keeps on repeating that, because it's the truth. And the facts are there that they are the pro-death party. It's amazing to me that we love our guns more than we love our children. It's just sick. We actually love our guns more than we love our children. We shouldn't have to have police officers and this and that at the school. Schools should be a place where kids don't have to feel that pressure of who's going to walk into a door and shoot it up. Yeah. Come on, people. I mean, this is just absolutely mind-boggling to me that we're even talking about different ways that we can, you know, solve the problem without really solving the problem, which is either get rid of the gun or get rid of the ammunition. Mm. This is just crazy stuff to me that when I went to school, I never thought about that. We had one kid that did a bomb scare one time in our school in Wisconsin. But that was the worst, and that was bad. But these kids have this extra stress every single day of, am I going to live or die? Plus, they have to learn.
Yeah, Tom, we're up on the break here. Really appreciate your call from L.A. we can you can hold on the line. Johnny, when we get back, though, let's hit this, kind of wrap this up and kind of bring this home, because Tom really hits an important point. Busted Pencils, more after the break.
Hey, this is Tim from Rise Against here on Busted Pencils Radio.
We are a credible threat to the rules you set, a cause to be alarmed. We are not the names that we've been given. We speak a language you don't know. We are the Nowhere Generation. The Nowhere Generation.
Oh, Johnny. Rise Against, Tim. Thank you for leading us into the last segment every show. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. A whole handful, a big handful of callers last round. 3-1 segment. We really appreciate everybody who called in. I want one more time, though, too. 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. I think we've taken this school resource officer topic, kind of twisted it around, moved it, shaken it, looked at it, talked about it. We got, you know, no, let's get dogs in there. But I want to feel safe, and the possibility of, you know, does the school resource officer integrate with the right training? Could it be a positive situation, not for stopping mass shootings? Potentially, could it be some type of a social, cultural kind of connection? My question, or not a question, my thoughts on that one is that I, from what the research is out there and the clarity, if we're going to spend the money, Johnny, we're going to spend the money, and I'm serious, you know, if we're going to get the dog, I want that social worker, because I think that social worker, the counselor, the, as you just said, the wraparound services. I want to go back to the article. Actually, I'll wait to go back to the articles. There we go. We got another caller, Gary from Philadelphia. Gary, what's happening? We appreciate your call. What's going on?
Hi, I've been very interested in your conversation. I started a school for kids on the spectrum, which made it pretty much the only school in the country specifically that was free for kids on the spectrum. And a lot of the children that you are talking about, or that end up being bullied and ostracized and marginalized and angry, are kids that are mildly different, not substantially different, but a lot of times mildly different. The kids that we had at the school were all able to make grades, but they weren't getting the kind of social emotional support that they genuinely needed. So we did something very, very different. We created some very small school environments. We had dogs. You were talking about dogs. Mm. Dogs are magnificent. We had 3 dogs, as a matter of fact, and they were in each classroom, and they were allowed to walk around the school freely. The kids absolutely loved them. If a kid was getting out of sorts, we'd say, "Hey, you're out of sorts. Here's a plastic bag, and there's Sophie, and there's the walk." And they would go and they'd take Sophie out on the walk, and they'd pick up the poop, and they'd bring Sophie back, and they had chilled out just so much. But there was a lot more that we did. We started school later. We created a situation where kids weren't graded according to their age, but rather according to their skill set. We did a lot of different things because we had some children that were, you know, in fifth grade, but were pre-calc, and then we had some 10th graders who couldn't read. Mm. Kids don't grow up in a uniform manner, and the industrialization of schools has kind of created a situation where kids who don't have the same skill set do have the greatest opportunity of getting very angry, of becoming disenchanted, of becoming marginalized, especially if they're themselves have different brains. So I knew that our kids had different brains. In my time, I'm 66. In my time, most of the kids that were on the spectrum were fascinated by trains. Don't ask me why. It was just the way it was. Nowadays, they're fascinated by anime. And we had kids, and they will talk about it incessantly for hours. And if you're a regular neurotypical kid, you will go crazy listening to them, and you will start to marginalize them. But you put two of them together, and they are off to the races. Everything is wonderful. It is a good day.
Well, Gary, I, you know, thank you for the call from Philadelphia. We really appreciate it. Spread the word in Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love, about Busted Pencils, because we would we love hearing from people across the country. We do have a little bit of time, 844-967-2789. But, Johnny, to really go back on Gary, the idea, too, and we've talked about this, schooling itself and how it might contribute to, as our colleagues Joanna and Haley pointed out from Educators Amplified, the deregulation, just the structure of schooling. Gary's talking about this. Again, does it prevent school shootings? I know somebody's saying, Tim, this is great. Small class sizes, dogs pooping in the hallways, you know, kids taking their own grades, all these things. This is wonderful, but it's not going to stop a crazy person from a school shooting. You're probably right, because as Johnny said, we need to limit and if not keep their access to guns from being, you know, the capability. No bullets, no guns, no mass shootings. But Johnny, the idea of working with, you know, and this is pushing the boundaries because it's starting, you know, the kind, can we prevent school shootings by making sure that schools are all they should be for every child? And I think that's why I really like Gary's call, is because he's asking us to remember how schools aren't for every child. Mm-hmm. And how we don't set up the situations like that. John, I'll get you. You got about a minute.
Hey, man, I'm just happy to hear callers like Gary call in and hear the, you know, the magnificent work that educators do when they realize that, you know, school could be so much better for kids who experience classrooms differently. And that's every kid, really, in certain ways. But, you know, thank you, Gary, for the call. Thank you, all of our callers tonight. And there isn't a, you know, for me, there isn't one way to solve this, but there is a theme throughout it. And it's that we can do better, you know, on the external world to not put it all on teachers and folks in schools and on kids. And so, you know, we'll ask those questions simultaneously at both times. What can we do in our schools and in our classrooms to support teachers and to make schools a safer learning environment for all the kids? And at the same time, what can we do outside to just have that cultural shift, Tim, that you talked about, you think is really possible, and the kind of policy changes that can help those dreams and visions for safer schools be realities.
Absolutely. I mean, think about that. That's where we're going with this. You know, okay, look, school resource officers. Yeah, you know, dogs. Okay, cool. Watch the John Oliver episode. I don't think I have enough time, Evan. Do we have enough time to play that before? No. Okay. As we're about to close out the show, but, you know, really does a great job of really looking at the evidence and bringing this forward because, you know what? The reality is that you're not going to prevent school shootings with the school resource officer. In fact, you're just going to up the potential that they're going to, become part of the criminal justice system. We'll talk more about all those things next week. Busted Pencils, Fully Leaded. Thanks for listening.
Wait, what? You want to know what my mom would say? All right, well, just ask her.
We are Busted Pencils!